This is Broken to Barbell,
the podcast about three 20-somethings journey through fitness, mental health, and everything in between. Broken to Barbell isn't just our name, it's our mantra.
It's a reminder of where we've been, where we're going, and how a barbell helped us change our lives. All right, well, first things first, we want to say thank you to everyone who bought our Broken to Barbell t-shirts. It was the first sale we had. It won't be the last. I don't know if they're going to be that t-shirt again. We might do something else, but that'll be fun.
Hats.
And yeah, Carly says hats
and tanks,
and, tanks. And everything else. And also, we have like a really cool photo shoot earlier today, so you guys will probably see pictures before you even listen to this podcast. But that was by our friend, ETD Photography. You can find him on Instagram. It's underscore ETD Photography, and out there he also has his website. So thank you for that also. Welcome to episode 6 of Broken to Barbell. This is the second time we've done a live episode on Facebook. The first one, I think, our very first episode in the snow at Sam's house.
And it was rough.
Yeah. But today is fun because we are recording live at Sully's Fitness here in Pittsburgh. And Carly's a member here, so I'll let her talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we're here today with Ryan and Dana, and then one of their clients, Kara. So we're recording here live, talking all about powerlifting, diet, all the fun stuff that goes into all of that. So I'm just going to let you guys go ahead and give a background on how you got started, when you opened the gym.
Definitely introduce yourselves, too, for everyone listening. Okay. I was like, oh, they see you, but they
all right.
People who
hi
hear
guys.
You.
Hi, guys. This is Ryan Selly. This is my wife, Dana. Say hi, Dana.
Hi.
She talks a lot. And this is one of our clients and really good friends, and now she's doing some personal training, Kara.
Hi, everybody.
Back in 2007, I just kind of got tired with the job that I had, and I kept going back and forth years prior to that, kind of wanting to open up a gym, and then once you, like, figure out the math and figure out what everything cost and figure out how many members you need, it was like, nah, it's probably a bad idea. You know?
But you were what, powerlifting prior to that?
Yeah, so I started when I was 16 years old. It was first competition was in 89. I don't know if you guys were even born.
No.
No. So, I was born. I was 8 years old.
Dana was around. So that goes back in 89, so I was 16 years old, and that's when I started to compete. So the gym didn't happen until 2007, and I just said, let's try it, and we start looking around for properties to rent, and that was like next to impossible to find something halfway decent, you know, that had somewhere to have locker rooms
yeah.
and flat floor and like just stupid things like that, and it wasn't crazy expensive. It's kind of like a long story, but one of my really good friends and clients had mentioned to me that his dad owned a building in Lawrenceville. And he was like, at the time, me and my friend Chris were doing a little bit of construction work. So he was like, hey, if you ever need to store like a Bobcat or anything, my dad has some property in Lawrenceville. And then shortly after that is when I got the idea for the gym. So I actually started looking for equipment on eBay because everything's super expensive if you try to buy it new.
Yeah.
And then one of these bids were like, hey, it was one of those make an offer deals. So I was like, well, I don't know, it's in Tennessee, and like, I don't know, like, yeah, here's an offer, and then it came back accepted, and I was like, shit.
Oh, God,
like,
I got to go to Tennessee.
So how much equipment did you get?
Yeah,
all the Chrome Universal stuff you see.
So oh, like, it was a lot of
how
stuff.
How many pieces?
It was like a 24-foot Penske moving truck,
wow.
plus like a 18-footer.
How much did you spend on gas getting it back?
It was like the longest ride ever, like 16 hours, and my really good friend Chris Dugan came with me, thank God. And so anyway, we went to pick this. So I get the equipment. I'm like, before I even got it, I was like, I don't know where I'm going to put it. That's number one. And I was like, well, John has that building. Let me ask him. So I asked John, and he says, let me talk to my dad. All right. So his dad says, yeah, like, it's for lease, but nobody's renting it. So until I find somebody, you're welcome to store it there. So I was like, all right. While it's being stored, we'll look for a place. And, how many places did we look at? So many.
So many.
Really?
Yeah, it was horrible. Like, I couldn't find anything. And in the meantime, after work every day, I would drive out here from the South Hills, like, try to clean it up, because that whole trip was a long story, but it, like, wasn't what I thought.
Yeah.
Like the equipment had been in storage for years and was like beat up and like we drove down in one truck and they all wouldn't fit, so we had to rent a second one down there and then both drive separately back. But anyway, we got here, we put it all here. Oh, Lawrenceville ended up coming here, like walking through the building at the time, like trying to build up business around here and wanted to know why it was empty and what could go here, try to help the owners. And they seen the equipment, and they're like, what's this? You know, and it's like, oh, somebody's trying to open up his gym and this is his equipment.
Yeah.
And so John came to me and was like, did you ever think about just doing it here? And I was like, no, I don't know Lawrenceville at all.
Yeah.
And
well, so it wasn't like it was now too back then.
It was just starting. Like back then it was like, oh, it's going to be the new place. Like, I don't know. I just knew it to be like crack and hookers or whatever. You know? So it ended up being, it ended up working out. So that's how we started back in, actually been exactly 10 years, June of 2007.
So you put stuff in here to store it, and then the rest is history. Uh-huh. That's crazy. I mean, it's awesome. The space is really cool, too.
It's pretty, it works out.
For being a storage space, you know, like, oh, yeah, we'll just store here. Now it's like,
it worked out. It used to be a woodworking shop, so, like, imagine, like, jigsaws and sanders and all that stuff, like, for big, like, cabinetry work.
Is that, like, did you put that kind of stuff in, like, power? Or is that from leftover from the woodworking?
The power was here to run those machines, and the lighting was here. I mean, everything. I mean, his father built the building. It's built like a tank, and so it worked out.
That's
so
awesome.
Far, so good.
And you were part of this entire journey?
Yes.
You're part of all of it?
Yes.
She was down for it. I was a little bit scared, but I thought, you know what, if it doesn't work, whatever, at least I tried it, and let's see what happens. Because, like, my job I had wasn't really going anywhere anyway, and, like, this is really what I wanted to do, so.
Yeah, let's
do
it.
I was like, let's just see what happens, all right?
That's awesome.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And I just started from scratch. I never ran a business before. I never really, I had a couple semesters at CCAC for college for, you know, I didn't even know what I was going to do. It was, like, anatomy and physiology stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, zero experience running a gym. Just opened the doors and tried to figure it out.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd say it's been pretty successful.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Rewarding, right?
It's been, it's really cool. It's a lot of hours. That's one thing that's kind of rough, but it's starting to get better. I'm able to get a little bit of help. So
that's
good. Helps a lot.
Are you doing anything special for, like, your 10 years?
We've been so busy. I wanted to get T-shirts made. We had a couple different ideas and, like, never... just hasn't happened.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got like 6 months left, so.
I guess,
still
right?
Some time.
I can still say. It's just so much going on. Like, I'm only one person, and she's only one person, so we also have a family, and, you know, I have a 13-year-old son, and a good dog, and I get a house, and I live 30 minutes from here, so.
Do you have him in here trying to power lift?
You know what? He just did his first workout with me on Thursday.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's cool. That's interesting.
Awesome. Yeah, he did really good.
Yeah,
because he doesn't really show much interest till now. So,
but this you can't try too hard, or it's like I'm not interested. Just like,
no, I don't push it. Every once in a while, I ask him, and he says, "Yeah, cool." And if not, like we've done push-ups and sit-ups and little stuff at the house, but Thursday was his first like workout. He listened to me and did everything right, and it was good. It was
half
fun.
The battle, right?
Yeah, he has the genetics, Dana. Tell him about the story the other day carrying in the groceries.
He's just built. He has biceps already, his shoulders.
He's vascular. Yeah, he's strong.
Yeah.
Get into it. Yeah.
Get him started at 13, huh? Since you said your first meet was at 16.
Yeah, and I started like messing 14. Around like 15, 14.
Yeah.
And then I'd lose his interest and then, you know, back and forth. And then my stepdad got me to do a local bench press and deadlift meet. Actually, it was just bench press. And, like, I won, and then I was like, oh, this is pretty good. This is pretty cool.
I'm pretty good at this, actually,
Yeah.
So to that end, like, what do you say to someone that knows literally nothing about powerlifting, or if they're, like, contemplating joining a powerlifting gym, like, what advice would you give? Because, like, Tanner, not to put you on the spot.
No,
but
go for it.
Coming into this, he was like, I don't really know anything about powerlifting, so...
Yeah.
His primary focus is like Spartan training, so
right,
lots of high intensity, lots of running. I hear you guys don't like running.
So
the thing
that's pretty cool with the powerlifting is the transfer to other anything, activities or sports is huge. So if if you know how to squat and are moving decent weights and deadlift and bench press, you're going to have the right muscles that, you know, make you run faster, jump higher, and all that stuff.
Okay,
so
cool.
If you think about it that way, you can do that powerlifting training for anything. It'll transfer over to anything.
It kind of builds what you need just in a different way, and then you use that elsewhere.
Total strength.
Yeah.
Total strength. There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Strongest possible, which will help you in everything.
In everything, right? Especially your that, you know, everybody calls it the posterior chain, but really, you know, your glutes, your hamstrings, your calves. All those muscles are responsible for jumping and running. So.
Yeah. What is it? Louis Simmons said that the Steel Curtain trained when the Steelers won the Super Bowl, like all those times they were training powerlifting style. That's when professional athletes do their best, is when they train that way.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt it carries over. If I get somebody that's a marathon runner, they're usually like actually pretty weak.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they build that strength, then their running automatically gets better.
It's just part of the
Their injuries come down, their knees don't hurt anymore, they're faster, they can run longer, their back doesn't hurt anymore. So
maybe I need to start because I hurt my rotator cuff playing dodgeball. Like a beer league dodgeball. Yeah.
Maybe powerlifting isn't a good idea for you, man.
Not ruined.
Pretty weak. That's a story I wouldn't tell anybody, man. I don't know about that.
It's too late.
So I guess to that end, what are the benefits of lifting versus just cardio for weight loss?
Just keep it close.
That's all right.
Yeah. So I'll say this, and I'll let these guys elaborate on it. But so anytime you're strength training, you're gonna, as long as you're eating halfway decent, you're gonna build muscle tissue, and then the more muscle tissue you have, the more calories you're gonna burn, just resting. So, you know what I mean? If I have more muscle than you right now, then just sitting here talking, I'm burning more calories
than I am sitting here.
Yeah. So that's going to change your overall body composition.
Cool.
And, right, would you agree? Yeah. So
yes.
Even some of the females you work with, I mean, even though they're strength training and powerlifting, the fear is they're going to get big and bulky. Mm-hmm. And
that's definitely not my fear.
It doesn't happen. Right?
Yeah, that's definitely not my fear. At least
no,
with you
but
guys.
I mean, a lot of girls,
Yeah.
That's their excuse anyway. I don't know if they really feel that or not, but I've yet to see that happen.
Now,
I mean, look at Kara.
Right.
Look at
so
me.
Here,
here I am.
She looks awesome.
Because this
Thank
is a pretty
you.
Good case of what happens when you start strength training and what it can do to your whole physique.
Yeah, I think.
And then your whole self-esteem and your whole everything about yourself gets better. So
absolutely.
She'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a disconnect. People don't, you know, people don't necessarily understand the dedication, the food, the diet, the you know, the training involved to get bulky. So it just doesn't. People have no idea. Like one of my favorite stories about this is actually to quote Dana. She was talking about clients that she has that say, you know, like, I don't want to, but I want to get toned, but I don't want to look like you. And
thanks.
And she said, well, don't worry, you won't, because it took me 20 years to look like this.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like very humbling and puts things into perspective. And but I think the general public doesn't understand the dedication that it takes, and I'm kind of like cool with that. You know, it sort of keeps people away that don't deserve it. It's like, it's pretty sacred.
You really got to want it to get there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no shortcuts.
Yeah. Yeah. When I met Dana, she worked out a little bit and everything, and she looked great. But like, to get the physique she has now, I mean, she's worked for like 20 years.
20 years on
like
it.
Like, straight, consistent.
Even
so
through pregnancy.
Oh my gosh, no way.
I mean, she looks amazing.
Everything.
Yeah. Well, no wonder he has all the sorts of muscle tone at 13.
That's genetic.
Started really early.
Runs in the family.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get that question a lot, like she just said, right? People are like,
they don't want to get big.
Yeah, but, like, you have no idea like what she does. Not even in here, but outside of here.
Yeah.
You know, with her meals and the cardio. Yeah.
It just never stops every single day, you know.
Yeah.
Day in, day out. So it's kind of, we all laugh when you hear somebody say, I've been doing my diet for three days or two weeks. You know, when are things going to happen? I mean, you've seen.
Wait,
are you quoting me right now?
No, you've been here like 2 months and
I
look
know.
How much.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think when I started, I was doing the whole macro thing, and Ryan's like, come on, man. Like, just go through Dana. Like, Dana will hook you up with a meal plan. And it took me, what, like 2 weeks? I'm like, all right, yeah. I'll go through Dana.
Really nobody's sure exactly what that means, you know? And yeah. If you go on Instagram or the internet right now, like, that if it fits your macro thing is huge, right? And mm-hmm. I think you've done it.
Yeah.
Or you do it now, right?
No, I don't do it
you
now.
You don't do it now.
No.
So, I mean, it works, right? It works for like
it totally
a
works.
Normal
I did it for a year or less.
Yeah, it'll work
pounds,
to a certain level. And then if you're an athlete or a strength athlete, that's where you're maybe going to not see the best results from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Dana, do you work specifically with any type of client or like is there somebody that you guys like kind of go for when they come in the gym for the first time or?
No, I'll work with anybody really.
Anybody new and seasoned?
Yeah, yeah, anybody that's willing to, but I don't like go out and like push myself like, hey, I think you should do a diet.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like they find out and then they'll come and I'll talk to them and I make sure that they know everything that's involved before they ever, you know, that they're going to be dedicated to it or give it a real shot.
Okay.
Because it's stupid to, you know, make somebody do something that they want to do it.
Well, that's, I think, like with me personally, with Spartan training and everything, this summer my whole thing is I don't want to have to out-fitness my diet. Like, so that's like, that's the big thing for me. And I know the thing I always struggle with is the diet part of it. Because it's like, all right, I'm already like running miles a week. And then like on days off, sometimes I'll do core, I'll like lift weights or something. Mm-hmm. But like, if I am just going to go out to eat afterwards and like get some horrible food, that's not going to. I just did all that running to save myself that meal out instead of actually adding anything to myself.
When I flexible dieted, I really had to get out of that mentality, you know, of like earning food.
Yeah.
It's just doesn't work. You know, like I never set up my iPhone to like count my steps or count my calories because that shit's bogus. I mean, there's no pedometer or app or whatever that's going to give you an accurate reading of like how many calories you burn so you can eat those calories back. It just doesn't make sense. And it's psychologically like just doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Never has. You know, like I just need to be on my game as much as possible, you know.
Yeah.
And think of like the psychological switch of like fueling your workouts and not rewarding yourself with food.
Not fueling the workouts versus rewarding the workout?
Right.
Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a super good point.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to teach people. Like, when she came to me and she's like, oh, I have a flexible diet and I've lost, whatever, 50 pounds, so. Whatever it was at the time. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, it's not she'll come to me in a little while because it doesn't work. If she continues in the path of the powerlifting.
You hit that moment where it's like, uh-oh.
And then sooner or later, her workouts weren't what they should have been, and she knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't understand. I'm like, yeah, it's your food. Like,
mm-hmm.
You have to eat.
Yeah.
And it exposes all your weaknesses. You know,
she wanted it bad enough that she was like, oh, okay. So if I eat better, I'll lift better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's when you start getting some help. Yeah.
And with the whole fueling your workout thing, just yesterday, I ate my third meal early before my deadlift session
right
at noon,
and what happened
and I felt like 1,000 times mm-hmm. better mm-hmm. So
you deadlifted more than you ever have
three triples. 285. That was my one rep max last April.
That's awesome
for one, so it's like now I'm gonna eat my third
numbers.
Meal before the session every week.
Every time
so that totally goes with the whole fueling your workout thing. But even when I was doing CrossFit and I was drinking and eating like crap, I would tell myself, like, oh, I went to CrossFit today. Like, I can go drink 10 beers tonight because I already did my workout. But, like, that's such a terrible way to think. So, I mean, obviously I don't drink now, but having a malfunction.
Yeah, our cell phone that was doing Instagram fell apart.
It's probably my cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
We can try to tilt it up.
I don't care.
Or something.
With our heads cut off.
Okay.
Dana.
I'm going to mark this at 1858. Cell phone.
So for your personal training, Ryan, and like we haven't really tried any insane numbers that I've like failed at.
Right.
So for other people or other clients, how do you keep them motivated when they're getting super discouraged on weights?
That's a good question. I try not to let that happen. I mean, have you missed the lift yet?
No. So, but I mean, I didn't know how often or if it does happen.
It happens. Kara had a day Friday, on deadlift where I had expected a 300 for three deadlift, and she was only able to do one.
But it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. I mean, she's getting ready for a competition. She's got, 4 weeks left? She's already ahead of where she was at this point before the last meet.
Yeah.
She had a really big squat day. She had a big bench day that week. Sometimes the thing, catches up with you. It happens. You have to push yourself to that limit, and eventually, you just got to know when, as a trainer and even just somebody lifting on their own, to me, the goal would be to push yourself enough and know your body well enough that you know when that day is coming and then beat it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, back off before that ever happens.
If I could chime in, I've trained with Brian for about a year and a half, 3 days a week, never missed a workout. And one of the things that I think makes him great at what he does is the, he really keeps you positive. And I know that, positive thinking and having, the idea that you can do it and then, you can accomplish what you set out to do is huge, I think, in any sport, And I recall, one of my first few sessions with him, deadlifting and feeling good and wanting to go up. And then he would say, well, then what? What would happen? You pull something like heavy, you do it for one, or you miss it and it looks ugly, and then you're discouraged. And why don't you stop here, be positive, and then hit it for a triple 2 weeks from now. And he never sets us up to fail, and he never sets us up to hit PRs for just one. It's always a triple. And I think that that's, what makes it,
right.
Really, your confidence is so huge in the sport. Like, believing you can do it without a fucking doubt is huge. It's number one thing, So.
So that happened to you yesterday, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
I was like, can I just try a 300 for one?
Well, mm-hmm. She just did 285.
Okay.
For three sets of three.
Okay.
And they were easy. So, of course, she could do that.
Yeah.
But for what?
I just wanted to say that I could do it. You're beyond that. Like,
next time we do over this is gonna be
315 or something. Yeah, he was why get wrapped up on that 300? I think it's stemming from way back when I did that 285 last year, because I was like trying after that 285, my one rep max. I was like, I'm gonna get 300 right here, and I was just trying, and I showed you those pictures, and my form was so terrible. Like, so terrible. I think my legs were straight.
Have them?
Like this tabletop.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the fact that I didn't, break my back on that 285 is a miracle. But I think that's what that was all stemming from. But I'll be patient. I'll eventually get
everybody wants. I mean, if you're that close to a big number that you've never gotten, you're going to want to try it.
But like how you said with Ryan, how he's like so awesome. You're both so awesome. But you're like a hype man. Like when I was doing my deadlifts, you were like knocking me and like getting me all like hyped up and stuff. Like that's what people need.
See, I think I'm pretty calm, so that's good to hear. Sometimes I feel like I need to be more, but
you
got to get that stuff from inside on your own.
Yeah.
I don't need to be a cheerleader.
But it's not like you're like yelling. No, you're just over there all right, this is a big one. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Get ready for it.
You say it just the right amount of stuff.
Yeah. I think it's sometimes, too, to have that little bit of cheerleading, because then it helps switch your brain from, the negative, I can't do this, to I can do this,
to get excited for it.
Yeah, especially at the start. I think, you need to hear it from other people, and then it kind of starts to slowly, seep into you, know. Then you start to get the positivity out of it. So,
sure. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So, Dana, you want to speak on the whole diet piece a little bit for us?
Tell us
your secrets.
I mean, so I remember asking you to do my diet, and then she takes like 3 to 4 days to like really hammer it out. Like you don't hear from her right away, which makes me realize like she actually cares actually about what she's it. Putting together. Yeah,
it's so not like, just something like it's not something she
threw
saved.
Together yet. She's like
don't
just
have
sends
it 10 seconds later. And
yeah,
now?
Like oh thanks, that was quick. You know, like no, she actually like sits down and like thinks through it. That's they're so individualized for everyone. So if you want to speak on that.
How much time you spend on that stuff?
Yeah,
we're hardly ever together, and then when we are, we're both. I'm doing online stuff programming, and she's doing somebody's diets, hours and hours and hours with a calculator.
So you,
and
you don't just Google somebody's diet.
No. I have certain
where do you
foods
start?
That I
so
use?
If I come to you and I say, "Hey, write me up a diet," what's the first thing you do?
I start by your weight.
You ask me how much I weigh. All right.
Yeah, and. Usually the majority of it comes from protein. So I usually match, you know, the protein with your weight.
With the
which
weight.
Which is, yeah.
You got to come up with a starting point, right? So most of these people don't have any consistency whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
that's
there's
me.
No right number. You just have to.
Yeah,
so
there's
she
no right number.
Way,
I just
then
start with the protein and go from there.
Oh, okay. So that's like the foundation that you build it on?
To me, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then do you, like, what kind of, we got somebody wants to play fetch. so you start there and then you start, do you do any type of calorie counting or anything like that? Or
I make sure the calories are where I want them and I go by weight with that too.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know anything about nutrition outside of what I read online, which is I'm sure I'm not even reading the whole article and like. So to me, I think it's really interesting and something I could definitely see myself getting interested in, but it's the where to start and then my own personal accountability, I think, is a big thing.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and I do some people's diets too. I don't like doing it too much, but a couple people I'll do. I do the same thing. Like, you can do a calculator and figure out online, like, okay, I'm supposed to have 2,000 calories. But that's not the case. It depends on somebody's metabolic rate and where they're at. Just
that's a nice standard that's just
but
out there.
I never write. So when I write my stuff up, I don't calculate calories till I'm all finished.
All finished.
Just to see where they ended up falling.
Mm-hmm.
And then like almost like as a double checking type of thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's kind of cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. It's like it helps break that stigma. I don't know if that's the right word I'm looking for, but that idea.
Calories, right? They think
it's 2,000.
Calories in, calories out, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you said, "Hey, I'm eating 2,000 calories," and Kara's eating 2,000 calories, but yours is coming all from carbs and hers is coming from protein, how can that possibly be the same?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two different animals.
Yeah, but the calories are the same.
Yeah,
like I know you're male and female and all that stuff, but still, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah,
you can't go by that calorie count all the time.
Yeah. Because I could just be going to a gas station and eating 2,000 calories at a gas station.
Yeah, and that's
station.
Where the macro thing doesn't really work.
A grocery store.
Yeah.
What do you got?
So, cheat meals are also based on the individual, right? Like based on their goals.
If somebody has a hard time with their diet, I sometimes say like, okay, well we'll do one a week. But I always feel like with some people it just throws them off more and they crave more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they would go a month or even 2 months, those cravings go away.
Okay. Yeah,
I feel that they do.
They definitely
you
do.
You just lose those taste buds for that.
Well, that's in the past when I've stopped drinking pop before or something like that, to then go back and like, I'll just have like a Mountain Dew.
It's not even as good as
my God, I feel like so sick. And I don't drink pop anymore now because of it. And then
so the same thing will happen with food.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just told Dana the other day that I had a creamer in my coffee for the first time in like 3 months or something, and I was like, that was terrible.
I'm
going to go back to drinking black coffee. Yeah, like I just wanted to see if I even still like the taste of it, and I don't. So
cool.
Did you cut out dairy, Carly?
Yeah.
Okay, you did. Okay, so that's I'm sure that probably helped too to have dairy suddenly back into your diet.
Yeah, I usually don't do dairy.
Mm-mm. Not on ours. And that was new for me with two meals a day for me is a protein shake and oatmeal. And she was like, no almond milk, like no milk in the protein shake. Because I always use almond milk prior to that.
Really? No almond milk?
So now I just use water.
I think I'm being healthy.
No, it is healthy. And I do put almond milk in some things. But to have a protein drink, there's no need for it. I mean,
yeah, and it tastes the exact same with water. Really? So now I just make them with water. And then I treat those meals.
Why use those calories for a drink when you can use water?
And if Dana does her diet, you're eating the same thing every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's calculated, it's measured, everything. So throwing things like that in throws it off.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine, because that's what I would like. I'd rather eat my calories than drink my calories. Right. So.
So we have a question down here. Do you ever feel guilty when you eat bad foods? But Dana doesn't eat bad foods. So.
I only eat bad foods when I'm allowed. So
I remember Ben and Jerry's and brownie brittle.
Brittle, yes. Ooh. But that's my, I'm allowed to have a
that
cheat meal.
That was her cheat.
Okay.
I never, ever cheat on my diet unless
I believe it.
Nice.
Pretty hardcore, man.
Yeah.
I think I asked you at the beginning, like, what you used to, like, put what spices you put on your chicken and stuff. And she's like, nothing. Salt. Okay. Salt. All right. Thanks.
The S&P. Or is it no pepper?
No pepper. I just
garlic.
Yeah, lots of garlic.
She hates garlic.
Why?
I hate onions. I just don't like that smell. I don't want to smell it on anybody else. I don't eat it.
You just smell it in the house if you use it. So.
I at least get one call every Wednesday when she's working. About somebody smelling like garlic.
Oh, really?
She's stuck in the office and she feels like she's going to throw up.
It's garlic in here.
I hope
here.
It's not me. No.
I would tell you.
It hasn't been me. I haven't had that in my meals.
If I'm training, you can't breathe garlic.
It's that bad.
It's that bad.
So, Kara, you're preparing currently for the meet at the end of July.
That's right.
So, how many meals a day do you have? Through
Five.
Harping? Five?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to talk about, like, how you have been, like, mentally preparing for your meet? Because I'm not competing yet, obviously, and I'm not ready to compete. But I just talked to Ryan yesterday? I don't know. About how, like, the whole beginner's mentality. I mean, this will be, what, your fourth one?
Fourth one, yeah.
So how do you deal with those, like, jitters, I guess, when you get to the meet?
When I get to the meet or prepping for the meet?
No, when you get there.
When I get there? You know, I like that energy. I mean, it's not that I love it and I hate it. You know, like I'm feeling like that right now. You know, just thinking about it and being there, I get that feeling. I really like that energy, so I thrive off of it. I think that it puts me in a position to battle myself, you know, like I get into that place where I'm like, okay, like this is intense. It's very, it's going to be hard and, but I'm going to fucking crush it. And like, then I just get mad at myself for doubting. And then I use the anger of doubt to crush it. Like, so it's like a cycle of thinking, you know, and that's just kind of where I put my mind.
So I guess we could back up a little bit on your whole story, if you want to give us the background on how you got started, how you found Sally's.
So I have no athletic experience. Just want to say that. Like, I didn't really do anything with sports or my whole life. Maybe, like, I played softball when I was a kid for, like, 5 minutes. But so I found powerlifting or just – like heavy training on the internet. I was following this girl on Instagram and her Instagram was very I don't know, she had a lot of followers. She's just really good at it. You're really good at photo taking and like flat lays and she had like she lived in Seattle. She had these really cute kids and she was tattooed and I just identified with her, you know. And she had three children. I think she only had two at the time. And all of a sudden, like, she just like had these legs that looked very muscular. And I didn't really pay attention to her for a minute. And I was like, what, how did you grow these muscles? And because she had a lot of people asking her questions, so she did really transform her body. We started a group called Moms Acting Like Meatheads. Well, she started it on Facebook.
I love that.
And so she was using a book that was like loosely rooted in training, you know, bench, squat, and deadlift, and it was supersets, and just and she was flexible dieter. So I started there, and I joined LA Fitness, and at the time I weighed like 240 pounds. I had had a baby in November 2012, so this was about, it's like 3 years, no, 2 years after that. So I think it was 2014. I started in December, and then I was trained and was super dedicated to that book and those supersets. Like, I did not miss a workout. I was, like, very, very, very focused on it. And I was at LA Fitness, and I hid in the women's room. Like, there's a women's only room at the Bakery Square LA Fitness here in Pittsburgh, and mm-hmm. I stayed in that little room and was scared of anybody seeing me. Like, I didn't want anyone to see me working out, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I slowly worked my way out of that room into like the weight area, and I still didn't know what I was doing. I thought I kind of did, but I really didn't. And I think the turning point for me was I just really fell in love with lifting heavy, and I wasn't doing it right, and I knew I wasn't doing it right. And this woman, and I was lifting with, I started to make friends in the like community of moms acting like meatheads, and one of them came to visit myself and my friend Dana Bannon, and she lifted with us, and she pushed us to do some, you know, some PRs, and I remember I deadlifted 225 for a really terrible, terrible single. I hurt myself, like, probably just as bad as, my back was probably straight just like yours, Carly. And but I felt like I could do anything after that pull. I just really liked the way it made me feel. And so it was so weird. Like, the next day, or maybe a couple days later, I own a tattoo shop here in Pittsburgh, Black Cat Tattoos. It's here on Butler Street in Lawrenceville. And little plug.
Street.
Yes,
right. Ryan's got
street.
The shirt on.
So conveniently right across the street from Sully's. And Jake Miklo, who is the owner of True Believer, which is in the jiu-jitsu studio, dojo, I don't know, what do you call it, in the basement here. He was getting tattooed by someone who worked for me at the time at the shop, and he had a Sully's hoodie on, and the hoodies and t-shirts say powerlifting, world's strongest sport on the back of them, and they're like the coolest t-shirts ever, and I was just like, that's fucking hard. I want to, and then I saw that shirt, and I was like, damn, like, I need to go there. And I had Matt Gibas, who owns another business owner here in Lawrenceville, he owns Espresso Amano. He also lives here, and he had been telling myself and my friend Emily to come here, and we were like, well, no, I don't know. It's, I don't know. I just had excuses, and we were scared, basically. And but that day, I just, after that deadlift and, you know, feeling the way I did and seeing, I just took it as a sign, and I asked Jake about it. And if you know Jake, he's a really charismatic person, and he'll, you know, he loves Ryan and loves Dana and you know, was very, very enthusiastic about me coming up here and was like, you should totally do it. So I walked up here. I made my husband come with me, and I looked around, and I met Ryan, and I just knew that I belonged here and that I wanted to train with him. And really the first thing that struck me about him was that he listened to me without a doubt, was not distracted at all. And I think in this world today, it's really hard to find people that actually listen to you. Mm-hmm. And he definitely did. And so I bought training sessions, and that was November of, I don't know, 2015, 16? I don't know, what year is it, 2017?
Yeah, so 15.
Yeah. So that was in November. So it was about a year later. And I just never left.
And when was your first meet?
My first meet is August, the end of August.
16?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So
from like November to August.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was my first meet.
Mm-hmm. And now you're about to go to your fourth
meet. Fourth, yeah.
Which is
fourth.
Insane.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's like, awesome. How long do you give people, like I always see your posts say like 15 weeks out, like 14 weeks out. So like when do you like really buckle down and like start that?
Myself, if it's somebody I've been working with already, well, I can really do it with anybody, but I think 6 weeks is a good amount of time to peak.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, the longer would be a little bit better in some cases, but I mean, to peak, like, so that would mean, you know, if somebody's just beginning, it's hard to put a time frame on it, because it just depends on the person.
For me, about like 52 weeks.
No, like if you came to me now and said there's a meet in 6 weeks, can I do it? I would say yes. I would get you ready.
Me?
Yeah, you would hit the most you've ever hit that day for sure.
Maybe this
That's
fall.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're shooting for.
There you go.
The thing I tell people is you just have to be able to get the lifts passed, right? Mm-hmm. So you would have to break parallel on a squat. You'd have to know how to pause a bench and keep your butt on the bench. And then, you know, you'd have to lock out a deadlift. But if you can do those three things, the weight is just weight.
Yeah.
If you've never done one, then that's easy, right? Because no matter what you do, that'll be your total, and that'll be your lift. Mm-hmm. The second one, a little tougher. Now you got numbers you have to beat.
All
right, and put some more pressure on it. Yeah. Right? You have to get better. You don't want to go backwards, and definitely don't want to go backwards.
But it's also not something you can start and stop. You have to. Mm-hmm. There's never an off season in either sport.
So my clients, if you've been training with me on a regular basis, I can have you do the most you've ever done in 6 weeks. I'm pretty confident in that.
It's pretty awesome to think that in only 6 weeks. So I heard about you guys through Kara. She's like a local celebrity. My cousin, honestly, back when you started working out at LA Fitness, my cousin followed you on Instagram prior to that because of your tattoo shop.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you should check this girl's Instagram out. Cause like that was back when I like started doing CrossFit and stuff. I'm like, all right. So here I am like following Kara, like liking all her stuff on Instagram. And I see like she's doing the whole powerlifting thing. And it was always like in the back of my mind. Cause like I was doing CrossFit, but I hate burpees. I hate running. Like I hate all of that stuff. Mountain climbers, bear crawls.
No running, no jumping.
Yeah. So
not for me.
I had like an awakening in this past March. I was doing one of the CrossFit Open workouts, and it had 155-pound deadlifts in a row in it. Like, you just fly.
155-pound deadlifts?
Yes.
Okay.
So you had to do 55 of those in a row. And so I was doing that workout.
Wait, what number?
155-pound deadlift.
Oh, okay. 55
of them in a row.
Okay.
So sorry, that was confusing.
That's awfully strange.
That's a ton of them. So I did that workout, and it was the only open workout that I felt, like, awesome about, because it was, like, a lot of heavy weight, and all these girls at the gym were like, oh, we're not doing 155, like, that's way too much, but I, like, loved it, and I couldn't get enough of it, so I'm like, that's it. Like, I quit CrossFit in the middle of the open. I had just gotten a new job, and I'm like, that's it, I'm going to Sally's, like, after work today to sign up. So I came in, and I met Ryan, and I was like, all right, I want to sign up. He's like, you don't want me to like show you around? I was like, okay, we can do the tour thing. So he like, showed me around. And then he was like, do you want to sign up for 1 month? I'm like, no, I want to sign up for a year. Like, let's do it. Like, I'll sign here, wherever you
a little skin in the game.
Yeah, and then I signed up for the personal training things. And it's been honestly like the best decision of my life. I mean, I've only been here almost 3 months now. And it's like, I trust you guys in my life. Like, I tell you all kinds of stuff. Like,
that's super cool to hear.
Yeah, and like, I was doing everything so fast at the start. I wouldn't take a break in between sets because I was used to CrossFit where it's like bang, 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 like get everything done as fast as you can.
Yeah, I wasn't even done explaining what she did wrong on that set, and she's doing another set.
Whoa.
Slow down. Back up. Let's fix what you just did wrong, and then we go from there.
But it's definitely a positive place, like positive people. You don't have like a bunch of like meatheads everywhere even – if that they like grunting and stuff, you know what I mean? Like they have a don't drop rule on the deadlifts, which is nice. Then the
Do you have an alarm
shaking.
Like Planet Fitness?
No, alarm. I like people to be.
You're the alarm.
Dana's the alarm. I send her after. But no, I like. We have to have intensity here, and we have to have excitement, and we have to have a little bit of noise. That's 100% okay. But just being an asshole and dropping shit because you don't know how to lift—that's not cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's part of the lift is to put it back down. You will not get it passed if you drop it.
Yeah, if you're not completing it correctly.
I didn't know that. 'Cause in CrossFit, I hate to keep circling back to what I used to do, but we just would pick them up and drop them.
Right. Yeah. Go, go, go. Yeah. So it didn't matter.
But it was never like this machine stuff. Like, what did I say? It was like a gorilla. The deadlift. They
call it a gorilla. Yeah.
Like, slowly put it back down, not like fly through everything. So it's definitely been a change of pace. But
I can yell at people because we're on the second floor, so I give them a hard time about that.
There you go. Yeah. Use that. Hey, yeah. People downstairs don't appreciate that.
Right. You don't want Jake coming up here. I tell you that.
So with the whole like social media thing, I mean, that's how I found you, Kara. So like, what do you have to say about like positive or negative feedback? Have you experienced both? Like using that platform to empower other women?
I have an overwhelmingly positive response to my activity on social media. So much so that it's like kind of overwhelming sometimes. Like, that I get stopped in like public. People, I'm a really like recognizable person because I have a lot of tattoos, and I think that people, I mean, I don't know, I guess I'm approachable, but people tell me like, I follow you on Instagram and you've like, I went to the gym today because of you, or like they I will get messages on direct messages on Instagram, like weekly, multiple messages from women that are just telling me to continue to do what I do. And like it's emotional. It's like a really emotional thing for women specifically, I think. Like there's a connection to like pushing yourself in a way that powerlifting and CrossFit and Spartan training and all of that, like anything that's hard, that's physical, there's a mental place you need to be able to do that. And I think that it's a powerful place for women, and that we all feel connected in a really special way, because it's not something that I think necessarily we experience in the world. So I love that. Like I barely get any negativity. I don't even get like gross dudes. Like I think a majority of my followers are women. I mean, and I don't have tons of followers. I have like a little over 4,000, I think, but it's pretty crazy. And I love it, and like it's very encouraging to me, because I think, you know, I follow tons of women powerlifters that inspire me every single day, that I want to be like, that I'm so impressed by. And I think that having that connection with another woman, and really not just like being like a frenemy hater kind of girl, but like, well, fuck her, she can squat 350 pounds, but like, yes, that girl can squat 350 pounds, like that's amazing, and I'm gonna lift her up, because like, someday maybe I'll do that, but that's pretty fucking cool. Like, and this sport's full of that. Specifically, powerlifting is one of the most encouraging, emotional, like just positive sports I've ever been a part of. Powerlifting meets are full of people that just encourage and clap for you and want you to do well. And I think that's enormously powerful.
Yeah, I think people have a misconception on what lifting in a powerlifting meet is actually like, right? Mm-hmm. So most are embarrassed, like, oh, I can only squat whatever, 100 pounds. I don't want to embarrass myself. But if you ever went to one, nobody really cares how much you're lifting. Mm-hmm. They just want to see you get the weight. So if you're trying your hardest, like, you're going to cheer them on. Doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, for them, if that's hard, then you're not going to ever laugh or make fun of somebody. You're going to
be
like,
hey, you got that weight.
Dude, is that the most you ever did? Yeah, cool. Like,
yeah.
So that's how it ends up being, and people don't realize that.
That's cool.
My third attempt at my first meet deadlift was 231, I think it was. And I grinded the thing out, and this enormous dude was like, that was awesome. Laughter. and like, I just couldn't believe this guy who could probably deadlift like 600 plus was telling me that my 230-pound deadlift was awesome. But he truly meant it. He was just like, we're fighting the same fight, you know, we're all trying to lift that weight. It doesn't matter how much it is. So
that's cool.
100% right.
Yeah. It sounds like a very positive community that
I think stigma-wise, and I'm sure like television and stuff like that has a lot to do with it, television and movies, but like you think it's just like, ooh, really like hard environment is really just, oh, that's so cool that you got a personal record, you know? Like
totally.
From everyone there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Even if you're competing against somebody, you kind of want everybody to do as best they can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You know that if you lost or won, you know that they put everything into it.
Well, I'm sure if you get mired down in that too, you're only going to hurt yourself from like a mental standpoint to 100%. Be worrying about somebody else's weight when it's
exactly
you're competing against yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And in the end, that's all it is. I mean, the sport's really divided up with all the different categories now, and to actually find true competition, especially in the beginning level or even intermediate, is hard to do. So if you're afraid to go because you're like, well, what if I get beat? I mean, chances are you're going to be in your own category, and you're going to be – it doesn't matter. You can only do what you can do, right? So mm-hmm. if somebody's 200 pounds ahead of you, I mean,
what are you
going to
do?
You lose to them, but there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You just do the best you can. Eventually, if you keep doing that and put in the work and put in the time, like, you will be the one that ends up winning.
Cool. Yeah, I've gotten a medal at every single meet. The first meet, I was the only girl, I was the only girl competing with knee wraps. So I got, and I was the only person in my weight class division, so I got a medal. The second meet, I got second place because there was two girls, so I actually got beat. But the third meet, there was two girls and I won. So, it's each time I got better, but it's like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Some people will ask me as a coach, like, how did your people place? And I'll say, I don't even know. I don't know. I know what they lifted, but I don't know what place they got. I don't really care.
I mean, I haven't competed, but just looking at it from my standpoint, I feel like I'm competing with myself, Just 2 weeks ago, we did 275. I'm like, all right, I hope I can get more than that next week.
Now,
and
if you were
really
trying to chase Kara and was worried about what she was doing,
it doesn't matter. I'm twice Kara's size
in height. But I'm saying, though, if you keep worrying about yourself, eventually –
yeah.
You might be ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like it's a more individualized sport, whereas CrossFit, you really are competing with everyone else to have a better time, Mm-hmm. So.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's just my personal thought. Yeah. But do you guys have any questions for them specifically? I mean, I see these guys like every other day, so.
Yeah, Sam, you've been really quiet. What do you
got? I just don't want to talk over
I don't think
anybody.
I heard Sam talk yet.
Hi, I am here. Let's see.
What are you into?
I just lift.
Just working
for
out.
Fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. For now.
Yeah.
I want to know, what, because I did look into, physique competing. So, what, would you compare, physique towards, powerlifting? I know they're nothing alike. So, for someone to go into one or the other.
For somebody to go into physique versus
competing
lifting?
Versus,
powerlifting.
Choose?
Yeah, how would you pick? I know what I would say. Yeah. Well, again, it goes back to what Tanner said about the powerlifting translating into the other sports.
To sports and
you're also
going to
translate into your physique. So if you had that powerlifting background, you're going to have a better physique most likely. So if you go to a bodybuilding show and you I know the bodybuilding is a little different than what you're talking about, but for an example, you look up on stage and you can tell the ones that lift it like LA Fitness or just a commercial gym who have maybe big chest, big arms, and these little legs, and they turn around and have a back. But if you see the guy that's really built with a big back and big legs, chances are he was a power lifter or some kind of athlete in the past.
Okay.
So I don't know. I would tell you, and she'll tell you the same thing. We'll find out if I'm right. The powerlifting's way more healthy probably mentally and physically.
Yes.
What do you think? What
yes,
would you
most
say
definitely.
Because when you get a girl that asks for figure or bikini help, I mean, I really honestly try to stay away from it because it's like an eating disorder just waiting to happen.
That's exactly like how I felt when I was like starting into it. And I was like, this isn't for me. Like I like athletic type of stuff. So like, I was like, I'm just restricting what I eat and I don't feel good about it. So that's why I was like, this isn't for me.
Well,
yep.
That's smart.
Before I was way too far into it.
Right. That's very smart because that's usually what happens.
Yeah,
you definitely have to be very mentally strong for not
I
to
get
stuck
get
into
that.
It.
Yeah, I've never had an eating disorder or anything, but But I have gotten sick from doing bodybuilding because it is restricting over so many months. And if you don't have, you know, someone who's really caring about just you as an individual, sometimes it, you know, the miscommunication isn't there and sometimes you get sick.
And that's
and
what
you're so depleted and
yeah. Because
you,
if somebody
you have
doesn't
to be
really
careful.
Care, they'll just say,
well, just keep doing it. You look great.
Just eat this. Like, just eat chicken and broccoli. And your weight will come down. And then maybe do like 3 hours of cardio if you don't feel like you're looking lean enough.
60 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Or literally 2 hours.
80. Mm-hmm. 80 minutes a day.
Good with 30 minutes.
Yeah, man. That's just funny because
you have to be careful.
You know, and I'm doing the bodybuilding now, and Dana's competed in physique. Mm-hmm. And most people think that's healthy up there with what you see up on stage.
Yeah.
But it's like the furthest from healthy you could possibly be. Usually, hopefully, it's only for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But
that's so bizarre when you think about it.
Is that
you know?
Crazy?
Yeah.
Like you look at them and you're like, oh, man.
They're they perfect,
look,
quote unquote.
But no, they're on the verge of sometimes death.
Kill never.
Yeah.
It's an extreme sport.
It's a different level than the. I mean, powerlifting can be extreme depending on what level you take it to, but that's a little. That's definitely a different beast, a little rougher.
I think it's cool. The kind of it seems like the kind of attention you get here at this small little gym versus like I go to Gold's Gym downtown just because it's right next to work. And, you know, it's just this huge place with a ton of people in it. And, like, I did have a trainer for a year down there. But, you know, it's still just it's a whole different. It's, I mean, you know, I can see the other side of the gym when I turn that direction.
Right.
So, like, yeah.
It could be a good thing. Sometimes it's probably a bad thing.
Yeah. This gym is like a, it's like a little, you know, it's its own little world. And everybody here is pretty fucking strong. So it's funny when, like, you go to another gym after you've been here and you look around and you're just like, wow. Like
I just got a message from Lawrence.
Yeah.
Because he's been out of town for 2 weeks. He's a powerlifter, super good powerlifter that's been training here for a while now, maybe a year or so.
No, he's been here a little bit longer than me. So he's joined in October. I was November. So, like, just almost coming up on 2 years.
But he was on vacation. He sent me a message. He checked in with me and was like, man, I just can't wait to get back to your gym.
Going through withdrawals.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't have to be strong to lift here, though.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
I
mean, some people are afraid to come here because of that. They say, well, I want to wait till I get stronger.
More than anything, it's just a positive environment. And
yes, absolutely.
You know, everybody's here for the same reason, to get better.
Yeah.
And they're all super motivating. Like, the one day, Matt, your one lifter, Matt, lifts like insane weight.
Yeah, Matt Hartman.
Yeah, he was back here when I was doing deadlifts. And just, like, having him back here in this room, I feel like it like motivated me to like try even harder.
For sure, yeah.
And then 1 week I didn't do deadlifts with Ryan. I was in here on my own. I was the only one in here, and I was just like, God, like what am I doing? Like I felt like I like hurt my back. Like, right. It wasn't even like a lot of weight. It was like 225, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna wait until I can restart with Ryan, because just having you guys there is like that little extra like push and motivation to get those lifts to finish.
But I also have an experience with girls that never lifted before and come in and train with me. They feel comfortable here. Like they're not being checked out. Nobody's, you know, they just, it's a different environment. And, you know, they would rather come to something like this than like an LA Fitness, just for that reason, that they feel more comfortable. You know, people are here to lift, not to like check
not
out.
Not to look.
People don't realize that. Like, everybody's worried about their self.
Yeah.
Or what they're supposed to lift.
They probably don't even
know
you were even here. Yeah, most of them.
That's like a corporate gym. I've seen some of the outfits. Is always super entertaining. It's like, you're
no
not
judgment.
Working out in that. You're going to get that thing caught in the elliptical.
But, like, at the same time, whenever there is a lot of people in here, and even that week that I was in here training on my own, Ryan had other clients, and, like, we didn't even get a chance to, like, say, hey, what's up, because he's so focused on the client he's working with when he's working on them. Like, same with Dana. I was in here doing arms a couple of days, and she was so focused. It was like, I'm not even going to take her away to say, like, hey, what's up, you know, because they're just, like, so determined.
I always waved.
You waved.
Yeah. But I mean, we like, waved, you know. But there's, like, no chit-chat.
I think we just feel like, you know, you're
paid for that
time.
Yeah,
you're paying for time, and like you're trusting us to help you, and you know, it's hard. Sometimes we're here by ourselves, and you got people you know, knocking on the door and the telephone ringing and everything else. But
it's cool because, like, even with Julian that one day, like, we were doing deadlifts together while you were signing up a new member. And, like, Julian's another client that works out here. He was just, like, helping me out with my deadlifts while Ryan was doing other stuff. Like, that's how motivating the people are. Like, Kara was helping me with my squats the one day. Like, everyone's there to just jump in and be like, hey, you should do it this way. And you don't have to take it as, like, a negative thing. Like, they're helping you out.
It's awesome.
It's super positive.
All right, well.
Do you guys have anything you want to add? Like,
no, I think we covered everything. I think hopefully that gets some more people interested in powerlifting and competing, whatever sport they're into. It's just making that dive into trying something.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you guys so much for being on our podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
It was a ton of fun.
Thank you enough.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to this for like ever.
Yeah.
And we wrote up a schedule back in, I think, February for what we wanted to do for this year on podcasts. In August, I think, was when we were going to do a powerlifting one. Like back then, like obviously I wasn't a member here. And I had written down like maybe interview Kara. And, like, that was before I had even talked to you or met you. Aww. So the fact that this is happening in June is just so awesome. So
flattering.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough.
I think what you guys are doing is pretty cool. And just hearing all your stories, I've listened to all your ones you've had so far.
That means a lot.
It's cool. Yeah. It's good. It needs to be heard.
Yep. We're finally on iTunes.
Yes.
Yay,
on iTunes.
Subscribe. Yeah.
Subscribe, review, like.
So this one should be up within a couple of days.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, thank you guys. And,
thank you so much. Yeah.
We ready? Are we say goodbye? Like we always awkwardly.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Bye, everybody. Bye.